on the show today, we've got Clint Bedsole, who is running for the District 4 seat for the CoServe Board of Directors. For those of you that have been keeping up with the Brazos power line situation, this is an episode you do not want to miss. I'm your host, Scott Ellis, and this is the Frisco Podcast for Thursday, May 22nd, 2014. So, Clint, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us today.
Glad to be here.
To kick things off, why don't we start with giving people a little bit of a background on the CoServe and Brazos situation and your introduction to the process. Kind of tell us what's going on there and why you decided to run for a board seat.
Scott, that's a great question. Back in 2013, August of 2013, CoServe and Brazos had a public hearing with the proposed power lines to either go down Main Street or to go down Stonebrook. And that was held at the Heritage Museum, where you had numerous amount of people, Frisco residents, coming out to find out about these power lines, you know, what was going on and how it was working out. And from there, you know, we found out that they were proposing either down Main or Stonebrook. And from that, we had a West Frisco Coalition was formed because we knew we didn't want those power lines. We knew there were options that CoServe and Brazos had not looked into yet, and we wanted all options on the table. And from the West Frisco Coalition being formed, you also had them get together, get with the city council, and have a referendum made to where the city did oppose the power lines. And so now you have formed the West Frisco Coalition. You have myself running not only for the power lines per se, but from other perspectives of CoServe and how they've had their dealings in the past.
Okay, so why don't we elaborate on that just a little bit? First and foremost, have the way that things have been communicated been adequate? Do you feel have those have been adequate for CoServe customers? And if not, how would you change them?
Another great question, Scott. CoServe has not been transparent in many other dealings, and I'm not going to get into specifics today, but a couple of those would be in how their voting process works. I mean, they do make an announcement in the magazine before that there's going to be an election. You know, another prime example is, you know, when I became a viable candidate, or what I mean by viable, I was approved candidate through their election services company called VR Elections. I called and asked them, who am I running against now that I'm a viable candidate? And their answer was, we can't tell you that. And my next question, of course, was why, and they said, well, we just don't do that. So my question again to them was, I'm a candidate, but you're not going to tell me who I'm running against. And that's just a very small example. I mean, we could go on to examples of, are these CoServe members paid? I mean, and that's still a mystery. We understand through our investigation, and ours meaning my team and the campaign that we're running, that there is a per diem paid, but we're not really sure, you know, how much that is, how often that is, and how that works. So there's been many questions about how the campaign works. I have asked, our team has asked for a list of people who have voted in prior elections. They will not give that to a challenger, but my incumbent has that list. So there's many things that they're not being as transparent about as they could be.
So it sounds like transparency is something you would definitely like to change about the way they operate.
You know, people ask me why I'm running a lot, and you know, you would think that I would say power lines right off the top of my head, and that is a huge concern because I touch on that a little bit. CoServe is a very rural company, and you know, they've been expanded just due to the fact that the growth of Frisco, McKinney, and everything up here in North Texas is growing, and they're having to come into the 21st century, and I don't think they've been proactive and what they're doing. So in that respect, with power lines being where they are, yes, it's very important that we get them to do their due diligence to make every means possible to find the best possible places to put these power lines, because we do need them. But I think what's even more important is the fact that they are not transparent. And that in my gut, when I was A, asked to run, but B, wanted to run and get in this position, is to make CoServe more transparent. I want to be a voice for Frisco. If my constituents ask me a question, I want to be able to answer it. If I don't know the answer to that question, I'm going to tell you I don't know the answer, but I'm going to find out. And right now, we don't have that.
When challenged on that transparency, do they offer any explanation as to why they don't share some of this information?
No, sir. I mean, the basic answer that you get is that we just don't do it that way.
Okay. So, moving on, your own personal experience, do you actually have electric or co-op experience in your history? And either way, how do you feel like you're going to be able to add the greatest value to the situation here?
I do not have any electrical engineering experience. I have not sat on a co-op board. I do currently sit on two boards with the City of Frisco. That would be the Citizens Bond Committee and the Comprehensive Planning and Action Committee with the City of Frisco. Though those are not co-op boards, I do serve on boards that are very important to the city. My understanding from my interview process with CoServe when I picked up my packet is that there would be continuing education that I would have to take to become more versed in that. But I can tell you, Scott, from starting this process last year and learning about transmission lines and distribution lines and substations, I'm not an expert by any means, but I have become more versed in what's needed and how things work. So when I get on there, of course, I'm going to, you know, want to do my own continuing education, but I think it's more when you're a board, you have staff members that can answer those questions for you. You know, and when you need to know information, you can get that information and digest it from there and come up with a good answer.
Okay, fair enough. So on those lines, how would you compare or contrast yourself to the candidate that you're running against? Because as I understand it, we now do know who that is.
Yes, and now let's be clear about this, and I'm not talking tongue-in-cheek, but we're assuming that he's approved because, remember, CoServe won't tell me who I'm running against. But let's just, for common sense, he is running. So we have Jerry Cobb, who is the incumbent.
Right.
And has been there for the last 24 years, and he's been a great man for the city. He's a 50-year resident of Frisco. He's been a farmer by trade. In the way past, he served on some boards with the city of Frisco. So he's been a great guy for the city and possibly maybe even some items in CoServe. But right now, my difficulty, and kind of going back to what you mentioned before about why I'm running, is when this all went down, I told you before that Jerry was not at the initial public hearing when Brazos and CoServe proposed the two power lines. He was nowhere to be found. So when we found out who our representative was, we emailed him. We, meaning West Frisco Coalition, many, many individuals, called CoServe, emailed CoServe, sent handwritten letters, numerous items to try to get in touch with Jerry to find out what his opinion was. And none of those were ever returned.
So no response whatsoever?
None.
Okay, that's good to know. I think that would be a big area of contrast. Going back to some of the issues that we've seen or the things that we would like to potentially change about the way CoServe operates, have you actually had a chance to read the CoServe bylaws?
I have, yes.
Okay, and with that in mind, which areas do you think are solid, are taking care of Frisco right now? What are the areas that maybe need some addressed in the way they operate and in those bylaws?
I think the bylaws, which are available online, and if you are a CoServe customer, you can find those bylaws on the CoServe web address, but you need to sign in order to get them. They're not exactly the easiest things to find, but you can, as a public, find them. They make things being CoServe, make things hard to find. But to go back to answer your question, there were bylaws that were changed in December of 2013, which CoServe did make me aware of once I asked them about it. But there was a bylaw that was changed that used to be two sentences long. It's section 4.6, part H of that bylaw. And basically it said, in order to run for a CoServe board, you could not be a city, county, or state elected official. Makes complete sense. I agree with it. Now, that paragraph, and I'm not going to sit here and bore you with reading the whole thing to you, Scott, but basically that paragraph went from two sentences down to... or up to a paragraph. Basically, they were, in my humble opinion, I have no proof of this, Scott, but read between the lines of the fact that that change in that bylaw stated that they didn't want anybody to be any part of any other boards or any part of any HOA associations or anything to that fact.
Okay. On voting, let's get into this for a minute, because at some point in time, the election's going to come up.
Yes.
So we need to know, first and foremost, when is that election? And I think more importantly, how do people actually get out and vote for whomever they choose to vote?
Sure. The great thing is, Scott, you don't have to get out to vote. You can vote from your house.
I like that already.
Yeah, I mean, you can vote while you're eating your breakfast in the morning. Basically, at the end of this month, you've got Memorial Day coming up, this coming weekend, in fact.
Yep.
And the magazine is going to be mailed out on Saturday the 24th. You've got a Sunday and a holiday in there. So the week after Memorial Day, and I'm thinking like the 28th, so a Wednesday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you're going to get your Texas Co-op Power magazine that comes out for CoServe. And in that magazine is going to be a ballot, whether it's in the middle or at the beginning, but it's going to be a ballot that's attached to the inside. You're going to pull that ballot out. You're going to check off who you want to vote for. I'm voting for Clint Bedsole. And then I'm going to take that ballot, and I'm going to put it into a self-addressed stamped envelope, which they provide, and I'm going to mail it in. That's it. It's that easy to vote.
Okay. So when you get that CoServe magazine, if you're in a CoServe area, do not don't just pitch it. Don't look past the things.
Don't put it in the recycle bin.
That are in there. No, yeah, you need to pull that card out and make sure you vote.
It's important. I mean, you know, you have a voice. And what a lot of people don't know, in North Texas, now don't just take Frisco, but any district, I've spoken at many events, and I always ask this question, Scott, how many of you knew that you could vote for your CoServe board? One or two hands might go up.
Yeah.
The, you know, and out of those two hands, how many of you know how to vote? Well, it's the same two hands out of 50 people. Well, that's scary when you've got a board that's been on there for an average of 14 years and my incumbent's been on there for 24 years. I want to serve two terms, Scott. That's 6 years. After my two terms, we need new blood and need somebody else to get up in there.
Yeah, honestly, I didn't even realize that we could vote on the CoServe board until all of this stuff started coming up.
And I'll be honest with you. I didn't know until we started this process. So I'm just as guilty as the general public in that regard. But it's been an education process, and I'm trying to further that education to everybody in North Texas.
And it's definitely important for the citizens of our community to understand where their voting rights are. And this is one of them.
Absolutely.
And they can express that. So this isn't just limited really to Frisco, though, is it? I mean, CoServe serves other areas as well, do they not?
That is correct, Scott. There's actually seven board seats. Frisco is one of the largest ones from a volume standpoint, but it takes up a lot of North Texas. In my district alone, I'll have the Colony, Little Elm, a little bit of Plano, a little bit of Flower Mound, all of Frisco, all the way over to Preston, and actually south of 121. But if you take it as a whole, you can basically say all of North Texas all the way up to Lake Ray Roberts and all the way down into the middle of Dallas and as far west as the middle of Fort Worth and as far east out to Mesquite. It's a very large area. Right now there's 160,000 CoServe members, and my understanding of that number is that includes commercial and residential
as
meter holders. And another good thing about voting, if I may, Scott, if you're a husband and wife at home, you only get one vote. It's one vote per meter.
Okay.
Not two people in the house.
Well, that's a good good point of distinction. So it's not per person or anything else like that.
That's correct. Per meter.
Okay. Good to know. Speaking of meters, as I understand it, co-ops set their own rates. So relative to those who've been deregulated, how do you feel about CoServe's rates? Is it good? Is it bad? I mean, this is something that hits people directly in the pocketbook every month, so...
There's some good things I can say about CoServe. And one thing is, in my understanding and meeting with what I would call my constituents now, people who have questions for me about co-op credits, how their meter rates are, if you compare them to others out there, they're very competitive. And if not, they may be some of the lowest in the area. So I'll hand them that. I mean, they've got some competitive rates.
That's good to know.
Yes.
I'm sure we're glad to hear that. Not that we wouldn't like them to go down a little bit more
sure.
if they did, but yeah,
sure.
That's okay. All right. So what is the district specifically that you are responsible for? That is district number.
That's district number four, Scott.
Okay. District number four. So in district number four, what do you think are the one or two things that really are going to matter most to our district?
Well, by all means, the power lines would have to be number one. I mean, just making sure that those power lines, you know, are responsibly put where they need to be put. A little bit more history on that is that when the West Frisco Coalition got together, I will give a handout to State Rep Pat Fallon, Senator Jane Nelson, and even the council, Frisco Council and Mayor have really backed us in this campaign against that. And what I'm alluding to is that we, meaning Frisco residents within these 25 HOAs, wrote over 2,500 letters to the PUC. That's the most letters that have ever been written to the PUC. They had to create their own docket number, and they literally contacted Pat Fallon's office and said, stop sending letters. We got the point. And we didn't stop. We continued doing letters and sent them to Pat's office. So the PUC, which is the Public Utilities Commission, they are the ultimate ones that make the decision of where the power line goes once Brazos and CoServe present it.
Okay. Good to know. That is definitely going to be a an important issue, and I know it's been on a lot of people's minds.
You know, and their second question is, Clint, when's that going to be? And our understanding, we're still going through the Guernsey study, which is a firm that's been hired by the city of Frisco to evaluate where power lines can go, where the needs are. Do we really need these power lines? And I wish I could sit here or stand here and tell you I know where they're going to go. I don't. I know that, you know, there's always going to be a loser in this fight because they all people say, put them underground, put them underground. And that's easier said than done because the PUC is not going to make them put them underground. Yeah. So that's kind of a battle we can't fight.
Is it just because of the cost?
It's cost, and there is some maintenance issues with it also, is my understanding, with it being near water lines and within everything else from the city. The power lines would have had to have gone down before other items went underground.
Okay. So we're going to go out on this, and I'm going to put you on the spot just a little bit.
Love it.
As a CoSERV board member, you will have an obligation to both represent the people who have elected you to that position, but also the interests of CoSERV itself. How do you balance those things? How do you keep that in check?
Nobody, in my opinion, has represented District 4 in the way that they need to be represented by CoSERV. So I hate to make it sound simpler than what it is, but taking all the facts from knowing financials, I know CoSERV meets on a monthly basis, and I was asked this question the other day, is what are your responsibilities as a board member? And I think this kind of goes along with that. To me, it's the day-to-day functions. Granted, you have staff, and I like to make the example of City of Frisco Council and staff members. Staff give council what they need. They're able to make decisions, and the CoSERV board should be that way. In my opinion right now, and again, I have no proof. I need to get on the board. I need to be a voice, and we need somebody in there that hasn't been in there forever to decipher what's going on in there, but I believe that it's a staff-driven type of company right now, and the board's basically kind of like a rubber stamp, so I want to get in there and change that. I want to be – there's seven board members. You know, you're going to have me alone. I mean, one man can't make the difference on the board, but I can definitely get the ball rolling and make them, at least them being the board, think about what they're doing.
That's a great answer. Clint, I think you'd make a great representative for us. So best of luck in the upcoming election. Thank you so much for spending your time with us today.
Scott, I really appreciate you taking the time to even talk to me, but it's a great honor to be here, and for you to take the time to be interested in this means a lot. Thank you.
You bet. You bet. All right, everybody, keep your eyes open for that magazine. Look out for the ballot and check the box. Drop the card in the mail. Get out and vote. All right, so without further ado, let's get into Wendy's Weekend Roundup. What's happening this weekend? It's a big, long weekend.
It's a long weekend, and I guess it's because everyone will be going out of town or running around, getting in the pool, that kind of thing. There's not a whole lot going on this weekend, but what's going on is fantastic. Rough Riders baseball all weekend and next week at various times against both the Tulsa Drillers and the Springfield Cardinals. Tonight, Frisco Family Services is having their annual meeting at the Senior Center in Frisco Square, and it's open to the public, and it's showcasing all the achievements of Frisco Family Services and what they've done this past year, while also celebrating 20 years of service to the Frisco community. So that's pretty cool. That's awesome. Refreshments will be reserved, so that'll be a good time tonight.
That's a great organization, too. They do a lot of good stuff.
I know. And I was excited to see that the CAN event that happened this past Saturday night, the Frisco Community Awareness Night, that people brought canned goods, and that all went to Frisco Family Services as well.
Very good.
So, yeah. So then on Saturday, of course, we continue the Frisco Farmers Market. People need to be there at 8 a.m. I mean, this thing is hot. It's popular. There are a lot of great vendors there, so make sure you hit that this weekend. Monday, of course, is Memorial Day, and Frisco VFW will be having an event this year, and there's a slight change of plans this year. Usually, it's in the morning, and this year, the event has been moved to 1 p.m. in Frisco Commons Park, and Congressman Sam Johnson is expected to be speaking, and so the event will happen at 1 p.m. in order to accommodate his schedule.
Very good.
So, yeah. Right. And then on Tuesday, finally, the Heritage Association of Frisco will host Catherine Wells Power, who is the president of the Frankfurt Preservation Foundation, at 7 p.m. in the Frisco Heritage Museum, where she's discussing the successful efforts to restore the Frankfurt Church in North Dallas, and the public is invited to hear about that and see photos of the site. So
cool. Yeah, if anybody has not been out to the Frisco Heritage Center yet, which is just off Frisco Square.
Yes.
It's really very cool. It's small, but it's very cool. It's a neat little bit of history there. Definitely something on Memorial Day weekend would be a good thing to kind of go check out.
Absolutely. You know,
and then stagger over to Jake's or Pizzeria Testa or whatever you
want. All kinds of fun things happening on the lawn. And then pretty soon, you know, coming up soon, we're going to start Music in the Square in June. So that'll be fun on every Friday night in June.
They've got a great lineup of bands too. So we'll include a link, to that in the show notes so you guys can check that out.
And we'll definitely be talking about that next week.
Now, you know what else is happening this weekend?
What?
It's the Indianapolis 500.
Oh, well then.
I know, that has nothing to do with Frisco, but I grew up in Indy, so I had to throw that out there. So go find a cool place to hang out, drink a beer, and watch the race.
That's absolutely. Everybody have fun this weekend.
Have a great weekend, guys. Thanks. See you next week.